Welcome to the Tipsy Archives. I am your host, Rachel Liggy, and I'm here with...
I'm your other host, Erin Redica.
And we are sitting in my lovely cousin Charlotte's flat in London. And you may remember Charlotte from the Naughty Nuns episode that we did last year. Charlotte, say hello.
Hello.
So this is the first of a series that Erin and I will be doing about our travels in Europe, our hashtag two anxious girls in Europe.
Yep.
And so for these episodes, we're definitely going to keep it like a lot more informal and casual, whereas we do normally kind of pick a topic, research it a bunch, and then kind of sit down and really get into it.
Mm-hmm.
For these, we're just going to sort of talk about what we're doing and, you know, fun stuff that comes up and sort of see what happens.
Exactly. Like, we're taking a few notes on the days or the 2 days that we've been here so far, and yeah, we're going to talk to you a bit about it.
Yeah, so basically we flew into London and...
spent 2 hours in the customs line.
Yeah, that was super fun.
Yeah.
And we were like watching people like be loud at security and then going, oh no, don't do that.
This is just gonna make it worse. But then he got pulled aside, so we laughed a lot.
Yeah, I feel like they made that one guy wait a long time. So
yeah.
That was kind of funny.
It was good.
But, yeah, I mean, I feel like you and I did pretty good with the jet lag.
Yeah, we did really well. Like today I feel perfectly normal. Mm-hmm. And we did get most of a day in London. Like, I mean, we went to bed around 8, but...
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we got in at 7:30 a.m. and then managed to go check out the British Museum.
Yeah.
Which is, so for anyone who hasn't been, there's a lot of museums in London that are free.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one of them. So, no excuse to not check it out. And if you like mummies, there's lots of awesome mummies there.
And if you like Greek sculpture, there's a lot of them there, including the Elgin Marbles. And my favorite, the Porch of the Maidens.
Mm.
Yeah.
And then a couple things that I really liked was the, I actually didn't look it up to confirm the name, but I'm very certain that they're called Lamassu.
I'm pretty sure they are too.
It's the Assyrian big kind of guardian lion with the head of a man and the wings, and they would be at this sort of temple. I think it's like the temple or the palace of Sargon.
Yes,
and
the
they would guard the front gates, and then I find them to be like really cool, and they have a couple replicas and a couple real ones, but they're at least twice, if not more, taller than you, like 2 or 3 people high.
Oh, yeah, I think at least 3.
And, like, if you just stand in between these sort of, like, you know, these creatures, you can just imagine walking into a palace and feeling like somebody's watching you. And like
they're very impressive.
They were really super cool.
I think that I'm not even as tall as their legs.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's absolutely, like, a ton of stuff to see at the British Museum, and we were super sleepy kind of like walking around it, but I think you and I talked a lot about how we were like, you know, it's totally okay to walk through a museum and not stare at every single thing, because
mm-hmm.
often that's just like total overload.
Yeah.
So we just kind of drifted around and looked at our favorite stuff, and then in our jet lag state wandered around London a little bit.
We also stumbled upon, before we left the British Museum, we stumbled upon the Enlightenment Room, which I think was almost the highlight for both of us. Cause
yeah, we'd both been there before and not ever been in that room.
Yeah, and it was just like floor-to-ceiling books with some sculptures in it.
Yeah.
And there was a replica of the discus thrower and...
Yeah, and a lot of, like, natural history museum, like, collections of shells and taxidermy animals, and...
Yeah.
It was kind of cool. I liked it.
I just liked spending time in that room. It just made... And it smelled like old books, and I loved that.
It totally did. Yeah. So that was basically, yesterday.
Yeah, we wandered around London after, and that was, mm-hmm. that was pretty much it.
And then I came back to the flat, and it was 8 p.m., and I couldn't keep my eyes open.
Yeah, and I ate some chips while watching iZombie on my phone because I was too tired to even get my laptop out.
But all in all, I think we did a pretty good job of slaying our first day.
I was pretty impressed with us.
Yeah.
Yeah. We went to a pub, too, and that was good. You know, got the British experience.
Which pub? Oh, yeah, that one.
The one we had a terrible, terrible sandwich at.
We had a terrible sandwich, but a delicious fruity beer.
Oh, the beer was so good. Mine was apricot flavored, and it was so good.
I did take a picture of it. Yeah. But I couldn't tell you what it is right now.
They were organic.
I do remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then today we decided one thing that we really wanted to do was to go to the, Victoria and Albert Museum, and, it was way bigger than I expected.
It was huge. I don't know what I was expecting, but there was so much stuff to it.
Yeah. We did the free tour. So also I think if you go to a new city or you go to a museum, like, take advantage of free tours,
especially when they're huge, like the Victoria and Albert.
Yeah. And it helps you kind of get a sense of, like, where, you know, where everything is or where you're going, or mm-hmm. you know, they can give you a little bit of inside information about the museum itself. And so our guide was it Pam?
Yeah, Pam.
I liked Pam. She was good.
Yeah, she was mm-hmm. hilarious, and she didn't take herself too seriously, and she was really interactive, and Rachel knew every question that she asked.
I know, I was being a nerd on the tour.
It was quite funny. The guide and Rachel had a number of conversations, too. It was quite cute.
You just can't turn the student brain off.
It was kind of funny because the first thing she showed us was a chihuly. I guess it would be like a chandelier, right?
Yes, a giant glass sculpture. So if you're not familiar with Chihuly, he's a Seattle-based artist who does all kind of giant blown glass sculptures that he learned from. He studied in Italy, mm-hmm. Like Murano glass.
Yeah.
And if you've been to the Bellagio in Vegas, they've got like all these beautiful sort of flower type shapes all over the ceiling.
Yeah.
So they have this giant Chihuly chandelier in the foyer sort of desk area of the B&A.
Yeah.
So, Aaron and I kind of right away.
We knew it was, well, we thought it was Chihuly.
Yeah.
And then we were like, there's no way that it's Chihuly. Like, we're in London. And then she was like, anybody have a guess on what it was? And Rachel was like, Chihuly? And she's like, yep.
But she said it was like 3,000 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
It was of like huge. Individual spiraling glass shapes that he had to ship from the States and put together.
Well, and then he didn't like it when it got put up because he didn't think it was big enough. And so then he took it back to the States and added more to it. So it's traveled back and forth.
I was just trying to remember, though, what Pam was saying about the museum being different directors. Who was this, like, it's like Britain's attic space or like
handbag.
The biggest handbag of collections you've ever seen, because it's just like, you know, here's a giant room of silver or porcelain or like there's just a ton of decorative sort of design, jewelry, like just lots of stuff. It's really cool.
And it's organized really well because I remember Pat, my husband, and I went to something like that in Berlin and it was so chaotic that we couldn't understand really what was going on.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever experienced a museum sort of in that way where I'm sure I have if I thought about it longer, but I mean, all the rooms were definitely like well sort of separated and labeled. We were sort of, I just did a museum studies class, so I went in there with this analytical brain kind of going like, what do I think of the museum layout? And I liked it, except I found the whole place to be, like, kind of dim.
Yeah.
I don't know if you... Did you find that, Charlotte? It's kind of, like, dim and drafty, and, like, it almost makes you feel a little sleepy.
Yeah, some rooms, for sure.
I mean, I know they'd have to do that kind of thing on purpose for, like, preservation purposes. Mm-hmm. But compared to other museums, I just felt like the whole, like, most of the rooms for me were just, like, a touch dark.
I think that the V&A relies a lot on natural light because
they have a lot of roof courtyard. Lighting. Yeah.
They have the courtyard in the middle, mm-hmm. which a lot of the galleries have windows that kind of rely on light from the courtyard.
Yeah, they have
today was quite overcast.
They have a lot of, that's a good point, actually. They have a lot of skylights and a lot of lighting through the ceiling. And she actually brought that up on the tour that sort of during the time of Victoria and Albert was this boom of museums and exhibitions, and there was a big focus on educating the working class public. I made quotation marks with my fingers when I said that, too. Like, it's just about, like, there was this new sort of, like, big working class and middle class, and they wanted to civilize them a bit more and give them an education.
Yeah, and so it used to be open quite late, too, because they realized that people would have to come after work.
And I don't know why being open late and having glass ceilings would help, because then it would be darker.
I was a bit confused by that one.
Yeah. But it was kind of in the same talk where she was talking about, like, how there was so much natural light and it was, you know, open to everybody.
And it was the first museum to ever have gas lighting in it, she was saying, too. Because it was quite funny, because right after we'd commented to each other about how it was dark, she was telling us about how it was so well lit and everything. So it's just a little bit strange.
So for me, I think probably one of the highlights was the room of giant tapestries.
Yeah, you love your tapestries.
I do. I love that kind of medieval stuff. And she was saying a lot of it was collected by a woman named Bess of Hardwick.
Yeah.
Who, through many marriages, had a bit of a fortune and loved to bring that stuff over from France.
Yeah, she had four husbands because her husbands kept dying. And she'd get progressively wealthier and wealthier each time a husband died.
Yeah, the tapestries were gorgeous. I mean, they're absolutely humongous. Mm-hmm. So that, for me, was a favorite. Like, what was a highlight for you?
Well, I really liked the tapestries, but then there was the otter hunt in it, and it made me really sad. Uh-huh. And I was like, I can't handle otter hunts.
I didn't really think about it that hard.
Well, you know me and
they
otters.
They were also clubbing bears in the tapestries.
Yeah, but I don't care about bears like I care about otters.
Oh, that's harsh, Erin.
I'm sorry.
All the bear enthusiasts just tuned out.
Sorry. I like bears. They're just not otters, okay?
It's true.
I think my favorite was, I can't remember what it was called now, but it's the one with the tiger attacking the British soldier.
Oh, yeah. The it's quite an important piece. They have it on the postcards and everything, and it's I guess it's wood.
Yeah, it's wood, and there's a little crank on it that you can turn, although, like, it's behind glass, so you can't do it now.
So it's a wood sculpture that was commissioned by an Indian king, Raja,
whatever
he may have been called, who hated the British, and this is the time when the British are trying to come in. And
It's a sort of a anti-imperialist.
Yeah, so he has this piece made that's a wooden sculpture, life-sized, of a tiger mauling a British soldier.
Yeah, and if you twist the crank on it, the tiger roars, the British soldier moans, and his arm sort of waves around.
And you can open the tiger's back to reveal a piano.
Exactly. Like, it was just totally ridiculous, but I absolutely loved that piece.
And it was so, I loved the stylized stripes on the tiger. Like, it was kind of like a cartoony 3D piece. It was really cool.
It was really cool. Mm-hmm. And then I really liked the portrait of Frances Anne Vane. The one that she had all of these jewels sewn in.
It was
her
a beautiful
dress.
Portrait.
It was beautiful. Mm-hmm. She was this really, really wealthy woman. Her husband actually took her name. I think that might have been what appealed to me the most about it, as somebody who tried to convince her husband to take her name. I was like, this is super cool.
Yeah.
Also, the jewels were just really beautiful, and we could actually go into the next room and see the jewels. And
yeah, because that led us right into the jewelry room, where you could see some of these jewels worn by very rich and famous people.
I really liked the story about the jewels that were in that painting, because her descendants loaned them to the V&A, and they apparently live nearby, and so sometimes in the evenings, they'll, like, come over and take them out and wear them around.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was hilarious.
Oh, yeah, there was their collection had tiaras and necklaces and just these giant diamond brooches. When I say giant, I mean, like, almost the size of my arm.
I can post a picture of it on the Twitter. Wow, I sound like my mom there.
The picture you took and then the guard got mad at you?
Yes. So I don't know if I should post it because apparently you weren't supposed to take pictures. I got in trouble twice at the museum, which is hilarious because I'm somebody who works in museums. Mm-hmm. But there was no signs that you couldn't eat food in this sort of like lobby area. So I was eating my granola bar and got in trouble.
It seemed like a very casual area, but
I thought it was just the lobby, but apparently it was part of the sculpture gallery.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Oh, well.
But yeah, I've really enjoyed the V&A.
Yeah, and if, you know, definitely if I have a chance in the future to go back and kind of spend a little bit more time. Also, the fashion section.
Oh, man, there were some incredible dresses.
Really beautiful, you know, it was like Rococo with the giant hips and the, we had this even stuff up to the 70s and corsets and shout out to our friend Louise. She would love it.
Yeah.
I totally thought of you when I was looking at it.
Yeah, it was really neat.
Yeah, totally. But yeah, definitely worth checking out. And we definitely love, I feel like we had a lot of Victoria and Albert today.
Yeah.
Because we went to the museum, which of course Victoria insisted that his name be included, even though it was like built decades after he died.
Yeah, it was near the end of her lifetime because mm-hmm. apparently she laid the first stone.
Yeah, and they said that was, like, did they say 1898 or 99?
I can't remember what date they said, but they said it was one of her last public
acts. Yeah, because she died in 1901.
Yeah.
So
yeah, they said it was one of her last public acts.
So from there, we walked over to Hyde Park and saw the Prince Albert Memorial.
We had lunch with it.
Mm-hmm. And it was a lot more ornate than I expected.
It was huge and very detailed and so full of gold.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he would have hated it.
And imperial imagery of, like, you know, Egyptian and Indian and Middle Eastern and
people riding tigers.
Yeah, just like it feels a little dated. I'll just say that.
It was special.
It was something. So, yeah, and we walked through Hyde Park. Okay, so now we have to talk about. So, Aaron and Charlotte and I were walking through Hyde Park
mm-hmm.
towards Buckingham Palace. And we see, like, literally just, like, streams of people. Like, tons of people. And we're like, why is the park so busy?
And then we looked over and we're like, why is it hazy over there?
And before that, we were like, why are there so many cops around?
Yeah.
Because we were like, what's going on? Like, maybe there's a concert going on. We're sitting on a bench and we're just kind of thinking, like, let's Google it. Let's see what's happening. Like, oh, it's weird. It's kind of smoky over there.
Yeah.
And then we clued into the fact that it was 4:20.
Yep. And it was actually quite funny because we'd even talked about earlier about how it was April 20th, but it just, the rest of it didn't kick in, which is hilarious because
I just don't really think of that.
Well, I used to because I used to work at the Vancouver Art Gallery, yeah. Which is where everybody goes in Vancouver.
So, of course, 4:20 being the day that people celebrate lots of weed smoking.
Yeah.
And so there's some kind of, I think, like, you know, weed legalization rally or something.
Yeah, it was a pot rally. And, yeah.
And it was just funny because we had said, why is it so hazy?
Where are all these people going? And there were so many people because we were on our way to Buckingham Palace and just trying to, like, cross the streets. There were so many people.
Literally, it was 4:20 in the afternoon, too.
Yeah, it was so, exactly then. And, like, yeah. This whole, like, yell went up, too. And it was crazy. It made the Vancouver rally look small. And the Vancouver rally the last year I worked at the art gallery actually meant that they closed down the offices at the gallery. I think they just completely closed down the gallery entirely that day.
Too smoky.
Too smoky. Well, I mean, we used to accidentally get high from, like, the contact highs.
It's funny because, like, I don't really smoke, but I was walking through some of the crowds of people and people were smoking.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, like, I bet that their weed is not as good as BC weed.
Well, and earlier when I was walking around the Prince Albert Memorial, I was like, I could smell weed, and I was like, it smells like Vancouver. This is strange.
Yes, that was kind of a random thing.
Yeah, that was an interesting thing to happen.
Yeah, and then we did our sort of obligatory walk by Buckingham Palace, and, you know, nothing terribly exciting there, but you see the, are they called Beefeaters?
The
with the red uniforms and the hat, is that what they're called?
I think so, yeah, because that's what's on the gin.
That's what's on the gin, that's why I know.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, you know, saw some guards, saw Buckingham Palace, and,
I have to admit,
the Queen didn't come out.
No. Well, I have to admit, like, that was the third time I've now seen Buckingham Palace, and I was less impressed this time than I have been before, maybe because I've been more places now, but I was like, this isn't very impressive.
Well, I think there's so many other huge monumental buildings in London. I mean, that's what I've really been noticing this trip. I've been to London years ago, very briefly, a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
But I keep kind of coming back to, like, how, like, there's so many just absolutely humongous buildings.
And very long buildings. Yeah. Like, they're way longer than any other city that I've been
really imposing
to.
And, I don't know, just, like, not ornate, but, I don't even know how to, like, there's just, everything seems so large.
Yeah, it's very large. Well, and it's such a mix, too, because there's a mix of these really old historical buildings, and then there's, like, these modern, like, new buildings, and they're kind of scattered together in some places, too, and it's a lot more than, the last time I was here was, I think, about 8 years ago, and it's a lot more than that.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, a lot of the big monumental buildings are, you know, 100-ish years old, maybe two.
Oh, yeah, like, there's some really old buildings here.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think after you see some of, like, these grand hotels with these gardens up front, or, you know, whatever these civic buildings are, Buckingham Palace is just like, oh, there's another one.
Well, there's no gardens or anything in front of it, too.
There are lots of gardens around it, like, more peripherally, but just right in front of the building.
Yeah, and it's the front of the
building.
There's
nothing.
And it's the front of the building that I'm
just gravel.
Like,
Yeah. That's what I do. It would be... So, if you work in the Buckingham Palace, like, sort of design and yard area, and you're listening to the podcast, we think you should put some gardens in there.
That would
really spruce things up.
I also know the first time I came to London, because my parents had been here before and I came with my parents, they made us walk down from Trafalgar Square. And so you walk down and, like, there's all the British flags all the way down, and you walk up to the monument to Victoria. And I find that's a really interesting way to approach Buckingham Palace, and it seems more epic that way. So if you're planning to go look at Buckingham Palace, do it that way.
Yeah, we came out of Hyde Park.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still pretty cool to see the Queen's house.
Yeah, and the Monument to Victoria is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. After that, we had to go drink more beer.
Yeah, we were like, it's beer o'clock. Need beer now.
Yeah.
We saw a monument to Wellington, the Duke of Wellington, so I had to take a picture for my cat, which I know he's going to care so much about.
I don't know anything about that person, but I just know your cat is named after him.
Well, he is the Battle of Waterloo, where he fought Napoleon.
Oh, okay. See, I didn't know that was the name of the guy.
Yeah, so if you listen to the ABBA song, it tells you a little bit about it.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have to get my history lessons from ABBA.
Yeah.
I mean, we already tacked some Boney M on the end of the
episode,
so
we would totally tack on ABBA to this one, but
those, like, disco people were, like, really into history, apparently.
They totally were.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the last thing we did after we went to the pub was we went to the National Portrait Gallery.
Mm-hmm.
And I really loved it.
Yeah, highlights for me, definitely giant portraits of Queen Elizabeth I, and Henry and Anne Boleyn and just the whole Tudor era.
Yeah.
That I had seen many times online and got to see in person, so that was pretty rad.
That was really cool. I really enjoyed that. I really enjoyed the picture of John Constable, who is now my history boyfriend. He's so pretty.
He was really cute.
He's so pretty. For
sure. I mean, there's a lot of pictures of not cute people.
No, and some really bad mustaches. Like, I don't really...
Some really good chops.
Yeah, some really good chops, but I can't understand what Elizabeth I saw in Robert Dudley, because that mustache is awful.
But he has got some really enchanting eyes.
Yeah, because they're... Oh, that was one thing that was really neat. Is they have this little computer system, and it'll show you the details of, like, these little miniature portraits.
Tiny cameos.
Yeah.
They must have been painted with, like, a single hair brush.
Oh, yeah, because it's just, they're so tiny. They show you the actual size after showing you all the details of them, and his eyes are so expressive in that, and then you see the actual size, and it's, like, you know... A little bit bigger than a loony.
It's like that whole, like, pointy beard mustache thing. I mean, that was popular at that time.
It was very popular at that time. I enjoyed also the Victoria portraits with her and Albert.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, in the... That sculpture just kind of cracked me up because, like, they're so... Victoria about Albert is so... Like, their dramatic love story, which isn't really dramatic, but, like, and I believe it is a great love story, but they just, the way that they sell it is just so over the top.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's, all, like, so much of it just comes from Victoria, where she's just, like, she loved him so much. She built this giant, crazy monument to him in the park that's just covered in gold, and there's this statue of them, like, dressed in, like, antiquity sort of clothing where they're just, like, gazing into each other's eyes and, like, touching each other's faces or something. Like, it's so intense.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, that was kind of funny. I wasn't even expecting that. I just walked into that hallway and I was like, look at that statue.
Yeah. Well, because we went at it backwards.
Did we?
Yeah, because we came down at the end and then we walked towards it.
But I feel like if you came in the other, you're coming from the side, and that's no good.
Well, and it's kind of like you were almost meant to do a loop, because there's also, like, the weird, like, Oscar Wilde portraits in there, too.
Yeah, that was kind of randomly placed.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so like I said, we had a lot of Victoria and Albert today.
Yeah.
Which is, you know... Totally good in my books.
Yeah, I really enjoy Victoria and Albert, and I did a lot of Queen Elizabeth the first time I was here, so, like,
the first.
Yeah, the first was, because I went to Tower of London the first time I was here.
I've never done that.
It's quite pricey, and it's really not overly exciting. The neatest thing is the Traitor's Gate that you can see, because they would take people in.
The boat tour that I did years ago, you can see the kind of writing on the side of the river that says Traitor's Gate.
Yeah.
But I think because we're in the first 2-3 days of our 3-week European vacation...
Yeah.
We were trying to do some more of the free stuff.
Yeah.
You don't want to, like... below your budget.
Yeah, we've been...
In an expensive city like London.
Oh, it's crazy. Whenever I look at prices, I just try to pretend that they're dollars.
Oh, I don't. I have to convert it to dollars so I don't spend too much money. we looked at some ticket prices today for shows like Wicked, and we're like, not quite cheap enough.
Yeah, not quite ready to spend, like, close to $60 on tickets to Wicked.
So, do you have any, like... final sort of, like, thoughts about the trip, or, you know, what you want to get out of it, or...
Oh, it's gone really well. I'm enjoying it a lot. I'm seeing some really cool things. I really sort of just want to get a chance to sort of get more in tune with myself, too, and sort of like a self-exploration and discovery trip, along with being, like, an art trip and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you and I are both very into art and museums, so I think the things that we want to see and do are pretty similar.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think, too, like, we were able to balance a good amount of, like, doing art stuff with, like, a little bit of leisure time and,
you know,
looking forward to having some wine and cheese in France. And,
yeah, we're just going to picnic at the Eiffel Tower and...
Yeah.
It'll be really good. Yeah, we're off to Paris tomorrow. A little bit afraid now, but...
Well, I'm sure we will tell you all about the things we're doing in Paris in the next installment.
Sounds great.
So, Oh yeah, and we were joking earlier today on the tube in the period of time that we got lost for a while.
Yeah.
That we had our anxious girls in Europe hashtag.
Yeah.
But we already on day two were complaining about our knees and our back.
I know. I'm like, I'm not as young as I used to be.
So we're like, okay, let's do a museum and then let's sit and have a picnic and drink wine. Mm-hmm. So it's like two anxious girls in Europe and also two old ladies in Europe.
Yeah, it's really good.
That's both of us. So this is where we are so far, and we'll check back in soon with what's going on in Paris.
Sounds good. Okay. Cheers.
Cheers.